Good evening. We're going to start the meeting tonight with the opening prayer led by Pastor Bill Mole, Owosso Free Methodist Church. Pastor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Will you pray with me? Father God, I thank you that we can gather in this place tonight with so many different opinions, so many different backgrounds, and yet we can work together in harmony as one. Lord, we've seen this week what happens when communities or situations go astray. I'm so thankful for people who care about this community and care about one another. And so as this agenda is before you tonight, I pray for wisdom and understanding for every item. And I pray that you would help where we lack creativity or we don't know the solution to find solutions. I thank you for each one who's gathered here tonight. And I pray that we would give respect to one another the way we would want it given to us. And so, Lord, we're here and ask that you would help and are thankful that we're here. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. The Pledge of Allegiance tonight will be led by Carolyn Wilson.
Please join me. And I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This brings us to the roll call. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Mayor Teich.
Here.
Pro Tem Haber.
Here.
Councilmember Fear.
Here.
Ludington.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Osmer.
Here.
Owens.
Here.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. This brings us now to the approval of the agenda.
I make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The agenda is approved. This brings us to the approval of the minutes for the regular meeting of September the 2nd, 2025.
Make a motion to approve the minutes.
Support.
I have a motion support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. The minutes of the regular meeting of September the 2nd, 2025 are approved. This brings us to proclamations and special presentations, in which we have none. This then brings us to public hearings, in which we have none. This brings us now to our first citizen comments. Each person wishing to address the City Council shall be afforded up to 4 minutes duration during the first occasion and up to 3 minutes duration during the last occasion, provided for the citizen comments and questions. When recognized, please come to the podium, give your name and address, and direct your comments to the mayor. Is there anyone tonight that would like to address the council? Yes, sir. Right now. Let's come up to the podium. State your name.
Sure.
State your name and your address, please.
My name is Edward Soroya. I live at 409 Michigan Avenue here in Owosso. I want to say maybe a month and a half ago, I saw a gentleman walking down my street from below the railroad tracks wearing a hooded sweatshirt and no pants. I went in the house to mention it to my wife, and just right after that, there was a knock at the door, and it's this guy. So I asked him, what does he want? He said, well, he had been sleeping back there in the camp, rolled over and set fire to his pants, and I looked down, and most of the skin is hanging from his legs. So we called 911, the EMS come out, the fire department, the police, and they took him to the hospital. And he only showed up again a month later, been in the hospital for quite a bit, showed us all his skin grafts and stuff. So what I'm wondering, it's becoming more and more prevalent that there's a homeless camp back there and that it's growing. And I can say that because I'm there to witness all the people walking up and down the street. And it appears that I don't know where they go in the daytime, and then they all filter back down there in the evening. I also believe that when this gentleman set him on legs on fire, that he also started a small fire back there that the fire department had to deal with. So my question is, are you aware of this problem? And what are your thoughts on this homeless camp back there?
Basically, we'll address questions after all the comments.
But I'm sorry?
We'll address your comment after all the comments have been made.
Okay. But, yes. I'm sorry if I was out of turn here. But
you're not out of turn.
I don't hear well, so.
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. Not a problem.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it. Pastor.
A couple items. Number one, Mr. Mayor, I want to address the homeless situation in that I can say that the churches have been working very feverishly to try to at least do some aspects of helping with that. And I do know that we have a commitment to continue on our end to work on that as well. But of course, it takes everybody in a community to work on those kinds of challenges and struggles. What I really wanted to talk about tonight was really what took place this week with the assassination, murder, however you call it, of Charlie Kirk. And I'm not here to talk about whether his views were right or wrong or that type of situation. People can judge on their own. But I do believe what it does is creates an important thing for our community to realize that when we attack one another, when we take each other's views and we let, whether it's mental illness, hate, whatever it is, win, it becomes horrible. And I want to make sure that whatever we can do in our community to bring people together rather than to be divisive in our dealings is important. And I do think the mental health issue is one that continues to need to be addressed. But I also think an overall attitude in a community about being part of the solution instead of being part of the problem and being able to disagree with someone. Certainly in this community, there's so many people with so many different ideas than what I have, and that's okay. I've learned to appreciate that. I don't like everything I hear, but I shouldn't, because that's the world in which we live in. But I would defend somebody's right to be wrong as much as I would defend my ability to be right. So, and I hope that as a community and as leaders, we take that same view. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor.
Good evening. I'm Caroline Wilson, your county clerk. I have not met some of you, and so I just want to make sure that I introduce myself. I come out biannually to give an update on the office and usually handing out the newest directory for the county. I'm not handing this out any longer. Since the independent news closed, we are now doing this electronically. And so the most recent version is always going to be on the county website. And it changes rapidly. One of the benefits of having control over the information in it and being able to update it is we just had a change today. So we can change it. But I have sent this out to all clerks, schools, anyone I could think of and that is in my listserv, and we are watching how often we send it out. We've only done it once so far. Another one is coming, but know that the current one is always on the county website, and your clerk has the capability of printing it in this format as well. So if you need one, talk to Amy. I also wanted to let you know that the Secretary of State took their office on the road this past year to help constituents get their real ID. And one of the things that they did was come to the county courthouse and set up shop on May 13th, right outside of the Vital Records office. It was a really great event, so much so that they're looking at doing it again in either September or October. Because of limited resources to get that information out, I have clerks that I ask them to post it on their pages if they're able to do so, or bulletin boards. But if they come back out to our county, I'll make sure to get that news out. It was really beneficial. People had their records accessible to them right there, and so they really enjoyed it. They plan on coming back. So I think that's a great thing. Mostly, I've been out talking about the early voting that took place in 2020. For our county, it was quite successful. Given that I'm not someone that has to run that function on that end of it, we had huge success. First, for those of you that are not familiar with the early voting, all the townships, except for you guys, did your own. We had 20 jurisdictions come into an agreement with the county. This is by law that we have to offer the 9-day early voting. This law passed in 2022 with Proposal 2, and at least 9 days of early voting. So we came together and did one establishment, which is the Veterans Building in Corunna off of State Road. It's in the back of the building. To give you an idea of what that looked like, February presidential primary was our first election. We had 323 voters for the first time. We thought, okay, not bad. August, we had 326. Not bad. November, 5,566. We rocked it out. We had a few bumpy roads the first couple of days, but then after that, we were able to put people through in 15, 20 minutes, and it was absolutely fabulous. Everyone liked it. It's not going anywhere, and this is the location that we are going to plan to keep it at. But mainly we did it for the fiscal responsibility. To not give you all the figures, but I was able to get a grant both for City of Owosso and for the county, and our election equipment to do this was about $87,000. So that was beneficial. I was able to get grants and help out with the city for anything that we had to do extra to establish the 9-day early voting, extra chairs, office people, and we were able to get most of that covered as well. But the bottom line is it takes people to run an election. And so we went in mainly for that reason, because as I've had special elections for this year, I'll give you an idea of what one jurisdiction for one little election for one day for about 10 to 12 hours ran about $5,000. That's one. That's take that times nine. And on bigger elections, I had 11 people working at the early voting site. So you could kind of do the math. But the state did come in and reimburse us $15 an hour per election worker. We learned a couple weeks ago that they're doing that again, which is beneficial for all of us. And that was really the main reason that we did it. But we also do what we call ballot on demand, which is different than a precinct election day. When you come in, we swipe your information, we print off a ballot that is specific to what you are supposed to have, and it's basically hot off the press. So it was great.
Thank you.
That's my report.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah,
see you
thank
in
you
2027.
For coming.
You're
yeah.
welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Do you want to take any questions when you're up there? If anybody has any questions, I'll allow it. Okay. I think we're good.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You bet. Mr. Mackey.
Well, a couple things. Yes, we lost a Charlie Kirk this week. Major theologians in the country are saying that he is one that only comes once a generation. He's an evangelist and an apologist. Millions of people around the globe are gathering together. I guess they had 10,000 or more in England last night that gathered. He was a firm believer in the Lord Jesus Christ as being his Savior. He taught it. He's an apologist where he would sit and argue with you. That's what an apologist does. Defender of the faith. He would sit at a college campus and debate. This week we're going to be having a huge funeral for him, and what I'm getting today coming across the news wires. What happened, even though it was a terrible, terrible situation that happened, is his death is not going to be in vain. There is going to be millions of Charlie Kirks raised up. That's the new slogan. I am Charlie Kirk. And we're going to see this at college campuses. That campus where he was at, he had 4,000 people. There's 4,000 people there that day to see him. We also see that the person who killed him, we're seeing now, the governor of the state, the FBI, all coming out. It's another hate crime put on by the far left. It is what it is. So, that's that. So it's a sad day for America when a person who will sit and discuss with you and debate with you is murdered. Thank you.
Ms. Mackey, further comments? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the council for council comments. Any council comments tonight?
I'll have mine at the next opportunity. I don't have them up yet.
Okay. Seeing none, that'll bring us to the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Osmer?
Yes.
Speer?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Tuddy?
Yes, the consent agenda is approved. And who do we have in the crowd tonight?
Adeline.
Adeline, can you stand up for a second? We'd like to introduce our newest Park and Rec board member tonight, and she's our student, basically rep on that council. So we are very proud to have her. She has a great resume, and we all are excited to have you on the board. So thank you for stepping up, and we look forward to your leadership.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Okay, this brings us to items of business. Item of business number one being the fifth Monday meeting. We'll start it off with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. September, we have five Mondays. Council has, at least in this term, possibly the previous term, have treated those fifth Mondays as optional meetings and schedules them at the preceding meeting. So we are proposing that a fifth Monday meeting be held September 29th to begin the discussion, get some updates on the curbside recycling mandate passed by the state legislature in 2022. Our regional representative from Eagle, DJ Drost, will be here to talk that over with us. So that's the purpose of the meeting. We're not asking you to have any action items or items of business for that meeting. Is strictly informational, and it gives you a chance to start to focus, for that meeting at least, on the curbside recycling issue.
Thank you, City Manager. Any discussion regarding items of business number one?
How long do you anticipate the meeting to be? Like, is there a reason why we couldn't bring it into a regular meeting?
My thought was to have you focused on that one issue, so it's a good subject, it's a good opportunity to discuss that at its own meeting.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
I have a conflict that day.
Okay.
So.
Okay, one conflict. Any other comments regarding having this special meeting?
If you'd like to try to roll it into a regular meeting, okay, but I can't really foresee any that are going to be light.
I'm on the committee with Rachel, councilperson Rachel, sorry.
It's
a lot of information. We can make it where it's not in depth, or we can make it where it's worthwhile. I would say that we should have a separate meeting. I would be in favor of it, to have the meeting. So with that, I'd be hopefully looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion for the fifth Monday meeting.
Support.
I have a motion to support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Ludington?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Fear?
No.
Owens?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes, the fifth Monday meeting is approved. This brings us to items of business number two, the SATA commitment. And we'll start off again with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is the city's annual commitment to the Shiawassee Area Transportation Authority. This year, and just to refresh your memory, typically they send out the commitment letters and they have their calculations. Most of it's based on ridership. This number, this amount for their fiscal year, which is October to September, is $117,683. Now, that's not necessarily the amount you will be charged. In fact, the only time that they have requested that maximum based on your commitment was, I believe, last year. The finance director has reminded me this year again and included it in his memo that the commitment amounts are starting to exceed the maximum that your one-third mil millage for transportation, public transportation. This is the second year that the requested amount has exceeded that. So we are operating under the assumption that the general fund may have to subsidize a portion of this $117,683 if it does not come down at least $8,036.97. The reason for this is because the millage is reduced by captures, DDA captures, brownfield captures, and the like. So while this is just an estimated amount of what they request based on ridership and their calculations, we're hoping it comes in under that. But the good news is we still have our opioid settlement money, and Brad has spoken to the attorneys regarding the use of that settlement, and he's also spoken to SATA. We may be able to prop that commitment up for at least a year, maybe two, depending on how long the opioid settlement agreement specifics allow us to use the money for public transportation. I don't see that changing anytime soon, so it's a good way for us to buy a little time. But if that opioid settlement money was not available, this would be just a question of whether or not you use general fund balance to prop up your commitment to SATA. So we are recommending you authorize the maximum of $117,683. Just keep in mind that that is about $8,000 over what the millage brings in.
Thank you, City Manager. Any questions from the council regarding SATA? Yes.
When does that millage expire?
December 2028.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we may need to ask for more at that next renewal for that, right? Is that what the plan would be?
We already leveled the maximum.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Further questions?
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
A motion to support. This will be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
Yes, the SATA commitment is approved. This brings us to items of business number three, water portal proposal. Again, we'll start out with the city manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is a bit of unfinished business from earlier in the summer. The resolution hasn't changed. The resolution approves the reactivation of Silver Blaze, formerly ACE, and this is our customer engagement portal for the water and sewer, for people that have water and sewer accounts. We had some confusion with Silver Blaze. regarding what we were hoping would be some sort of campaign to boost those original usage numbers, which were very low at 4% of all account holders were actually using the service. It has not yet been a year since that service was canceled by council, but we were able to clarify with Silver Blaze that the additional $58,000 was something that would actually charge new customers, and that's not some sort of get-out-the-word campaign like we were hoping. That was just to bring the system, is to get the system up and running based on our needs. So they would basically brand their program for Owosso specifically, and I believe the list of everything is in the proposal, but they did say, we're not going to charge you that because it has not been a lot of time has not passed, so they are perfectly comfortable with giving us that ramp-up service for free. And the $25,000 per year for hosting, maintenance, and support is the same you were paying less than a year ago when this agreement was canceled. Now, I will say that that 4% still bothers us internally because we did put out the word as best we could, and we put together a pretty hefty campaign to get the word out and encourage usage back when we first got ACE. We had some mailers in the water bills. We had flyers up front at the information desk, and we had social media and web campaign as well, and we weren't able to break that 4%. So we are still recommending that you withhold that approval for the contract just because that usage in our minds was not worth it. So that's the update I have. Like I said, the resolution has not changed since the last time we have drafted it. It was just updated, but this is one of those things that has been hanging out there for a couple months, and we ask that council make a decision tonight.
Thank you, City Manager. I'll bring it up for discussion from anyone from the council. Councilwoman.
Shocker. My question, actually, I mean, I agree, $25,000 for what amounts to 256 households seems ridiculous to spend. I'm making a huge assumption that with the rate increases, more people are heavily vested in monitoring their own usage at this point to the tune that it would improve from 4%. But I agree, $25,000 is insane for what amounts to a few hundred households. However, when I did do some research, and I obviously can't explore this further because I'm just a council member, but have you guys explored the fact that iTron, who we are Silver Blaze looks like it's trying to manage three different relationships, ours, iTron, the meter reading, and then the integration with BSNA, right, our portal for payment. But iTron has, ironically, a system called ICE, which is a customer forward usage portal that is an add-on to, so we could potentially contract with iTron and themselves directly. It seems like from my quick research that it is used very often in Michigan cities because it integrates perfectly with BSNA and we already have them as our meters in general. So I just didn't know if we'd have, it sounded like it was going to be much more affordable than $25,000 through Silver Blaze. So I guess my question is, what other third parties have we explored beyond this to create a portal? Because it looks like there's several other aftermarket or third-party vendors that we could use, iTron being one of them, the easiest one to turn on.
That's your question. Have we researched iTron? No, we haven't, because this is the first time I'm hearing of it. One thing you need to consider with Silver Blaze, with any system, really, you need it to be compatible with the meters. I don't know this iTron. I don't know if it's compatible with the meters. I wasn't aware that anyone on council was looking into other possibilities. If I would have known ahead of time, Ryan and I could have done some research. And this is a continuation of the conversation we had at the previous meeting, where it doesn't seem that staff is involved with these types of questions, so we can do the research to properly inform you at meetings. So here we are again. We're throwing out at least one service that I've never heard of that allegedly is compatible with BSNA. However, I will say that Silver Blaze, it was compatible with our systems and our meters previously. And that doesn't mean that it won't take some work on the part of IT to get things up and going again. Jeff Kish is no longer here, but when Jeff was working with the ACE folks, when it was called ACE, it required a lot of his time. So we have Todd now. Todd's made a lot of improvements, not only to our servers, but with the way we work with BSNA. It may be an easier transition. I'm not sure, but with this new service, never heard of it. We haven't looked into it. No.
Okay. So it's literally the bedrock of the proposal that Silver Blaze has here. So I don't know how. I apologize. I didn't think that I was doing a gotcha. It's literally what they say that they're going to do. What Silver Blaze's scope of service is that they're going to basically integrate between our information system, iTron, which is our vendor for meters, and then with BSNA. So that is the scope of service. I did not intend to catch you out. That seems like that would have been an obvious thing that you would have explored. And I mean,
what we were asked is to reconsider the Silver Blaze proposal, and that's what we've done.
Sorry. So
to close that loop, here we are.
I appreciate that. I think when I suggested that we explore a portal for usage, it was not a directive to just resuscitate whatever wasn't working before, but I figured that staff would use that opportunity to then explore what's available in the market and present something that would help mitigate the pain of the water rate increase. It was not nearly as narrow as I apologize that it came across in my mind. I'm just looking for the best solution for people, period. And I assume that your staff is on the same page. So I hope you never feel like, for me, that I'm like, you should do it this one exact way. It's like, how do we bridge the divide between we did this thing, we raised the rates. People are going to suffer. So how do we collectively, between staff and council, make sure that top of mind is creativity on how do we create control levers for them to be able to better manage and navigate this rate increase. So the opposite of being so specific, I would say be very creative. I would love to have you guys and staff come back and say, you know what, this isn't an option, but we did follow the rabbit hole down and we found these other three things that we might be able to hobble together to create something that'll create a relief valve for people in the community.
So basically, we got a couple of things here. Number one, we have a item of business water portal proposal that we're looking at with Silver Blaze. So number one, we got to decide if this is something we want to do or not. The other thing is, do we come back and have the city manager and the director come back on this other proposal you're looking at to see what that would be and bring it to council, and if it's something that is doable with our system, it's something that we think is more affordable and want to do, and then we consider it at that point in time.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, can we look at it that way? So I would suggest if there's any more talk in this water portal proposal, that we address this and then have staff have the time to come help research and come back to us on your proposal. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Okay. And then I would be looking for a motion.
I'll make a motion to table the water portal proposal until other means are investigated.
Support.
Well, I have a motion and support. Any other discussion before the roll call vote?
Yeah, can I just add one thing?
Yeah.
Is there a way right now where people, I should say citizens, can get an accurate reading on water usage inside the city?
There are three ways. One is your quarterly bill. That's what everyone gets, no matter what. The second way is to go down and physically look at the meter and keep track of it on your own. You can do that whenever you want. That poses some problems with some meters that are in pits or relatively inaccessible in somebody's home due to one reason or the other. And the third is to call into the front desk, and they can force read at any time, but you would have to call into the city and ask them to do that. Staff at the front desk try their best to detect leaks and contact people when that happens, but we don't get them all. Those are the three ways.
How many calls do they get now, approximately?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's been my whole point about the portal to begin with. You can call the city during operating hours at any time, and they can give you your usage. You can come to the city, and you can ask the girls up front what your water usage is as of the time you ask, and you get that information as well. So by taking the initiative of calling, if you're concerned about your water usage, you can call, you can come here, and not only that, you can go online. If you have your account number and so forth, you can get it online as well. No?
No, you can't.
I thought we could do that.
You can check previous quarters. You can give yourself an average.
Okay.
But you cannot check your current.
So the only way we can do it is calling in and asking.
You can call, you can email.
Email or come here directly.
Yeah.
So even with those two options, and even without going online, knowing I can do that, I'm going to do that if I'm concerned. I'm different.
It's a different era. People are phone averse. They are. I thought of it at 11 o'clock at night. I want to be able to check. It's my work day too, and I've got to step aside too.
And a lot of people don't actually like to have like a person-to-person conversation about something like their bill. They feel it to be private. So as weird as it is, it's like they would rather receive that information privately themselves. And so I think that it's not that you're different. It's that you're just... You're of an era that is less phone averse. The new era is definitely.
I absolutely don't have any problems making a phone call and talking with people.
Nor do I.
I don't have any problems coming in and talking to a couple of girls up front to get my usage. I've had that conversation with a lot younger people that don't like to do that.
That's exactly it.
And the problem is I usually have to do it for them in business to get the job done. So, I think it's a good thing that people communicate, call, come in and ask the question. I think we're getting personally, you and I differ a little bit, but I don't think you have to be so tender on every single issue. If I want to know my water bill and not have the city pay $23,000, $10,000, $15,000 or whatever, and I want to find that out, and I know there's two ways of doing it, I'm going to call or I'm going to go up and I'm going to ask those two ladies, where do I stand right now on my water bill? I guess I'm never going to understand why that's so difficult and why it has to be so private. Well,
it's so interesting because the conversation at our last city council meeting about Zen City was about meeting our residents where they're at, which is in their homes, in their living rooms, not coming into city council, not doing the things, and you had no problem accepting that as fact.
But you
resist that we should meet our residents where they're at.
To me, Councilwoman, it's not the same thing. You make it the same thing, it isn't the same thing.
Okay.
So what we have a motion not to approve or disapprove right now. We have a motion to say, hey, we just want to postpone it and look at other options. That's the proposal. That's basically what's been put forth to the council. So I have a motion and a second without any further discussion. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Ludington?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
No.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Mayor Teich?
No. So the water portal proposal to be postponed and brought back to the council with different options has been approved. Okay, this brings us to our second citizen comments, in which you would be allowed up to 3 minutes to address the council. Is there anybody with the last? Yes, Mr. Mankey.
Well, I understand Councilwoman Olson's, because I do everything on this now. I pay my bills at 4 in the morning, or 2 in the morning, or 7 o'clock in the morning. My convenience. Our generation today, the millennials and down, that's what they want. And that's what they got to get, because they're the ones that are paying the taxes. The older people are, they're dying. They're going away. It's the new people that are in charge. And they want to know. And something I read, I was at another city council last meeting, so I wasn't here. But I read again, which was kind of, it kind of bothersome, that Councilwoman Olson asked again about bringing this up for a vote on the water bills monthly. And again, she was put off. That's not what we do in this town. You deal with it. If you don't like it, too bad. But you bring it up for a vote. People don't like seeing old school putting things off. They want it dealt with now. And I believe that what she came up with, it's got to go for a vote. Some people want it, some people don't. But there's got to be a vote. So that's what I ask. And for the remaining time, real quick, let me just talk about the homeless thing. I've been involved with the homeless program for 25 years. I used to have a homeless facility on downtown on Washington Street. We were a church, so they couldn't tell me I couldn't have homeless people spend the night. That's what's beautiful about a church. You can have people stay anytime you want, and no one can tell you you can't. And unfortunately, our churches did that a few years ago. But as they put out in their words, most of the congregants didn't like it because there were people that they didn't want to see in their church because they were nicer people in their church. So these homeless people, they could go someplace else. So there is no place. Now, we did have one homeless organization come into town, and they were told, you can't do it. And they did. They opened up a hotel, and the city council couldn't touch them. So as of right now, we don't have any place for homeless. This community has, right now, the last I talked to Crystal Sierra, we have right around 60 people on the street. Those are on the street living. They're not the people who are living and bouncing from living room to living room and such. Another sad thing on another note is it just came to me in some facts. Over 60% of our seventh graders right now are only living with grandparents, not parents. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the city council for comments. Yes.
Okay, so I have a few. One, I want to acknowledge that, yes, there's a homeless issue, and there are folks trying to work on it. Last year, 24 into 25 winter, there was the warming center, and they're trying to recreate that again this year. So if there are folks who are interested in working with the unhoused population and providing support, there will be another warming center meeting before winter gets here. But I highly encourage folks to attend that and see how you can support. They had a meeting two Fridays ago, the 5th, I believe, about what the plan is. And right now the biggest need is a location. So as Mr. Minky said, there's no place for folks to go. And the church that did it last year doesn't have the plumbing infrastructure. So if anybody knows of a location, by all means, bring it up. That's my first thing. And then my second thing is I have, there are a bunch of nonprofit events coming up soon that I felt was important to share with the community, because many of our nonprofits are navigating changes in their budgets. And so I was hoping to let everyone who's here know about them. The Friends of the Shiawassee River is having a Wine with Friends fundraiser on Thursday, September 18th. There's a silent auction and food. The Shiawassee Humane Society has their annual wolf stock this Saturday, the 20th. It's a big fundraiser for them every year. And both of those events, you can buy tickets online. And then Safe Center has three things coming up. They have a telethon October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. The big thing, which we might have all gotten invites from the Shiawassee Art Center, is a Survivor Showcase art show on Friday, October 3rd. And that's going to be a art showcase of survivors who are contributing some sort of artwork. And then Safe Center's Fall Festival and Open House, so you can go and see Safe Center and see what they do and see their facilities, is on Tuesday, October 14th from 3 to 6 p.m. Those are all my updates.
And you made it all within 3 minutes.
Woo!
Very good. Thank you, Councilwoman. Further comments?
Oh, I had a question.
Yes.
As I'm driving down Oliver every morning dropping kids off, and then I end up at Emerson because I'm a coffee hound, so I'm on my way to Starbucks. But I remember we had a whole conversation about buying one of those blinking speed limit signs. Mm-hmm. For those two areas, but specifically Emerson, even though my kids go to Central, but Emerson needs it because people are kind of continuing down that line of road. Mm-hmm. So I think that people might be losing sight of the speed as they're getting closer to the school. Mm-hmm. What did we ever find out any information about?
We had a meeting with a resident and with city manager and with Clayton city engineer a while back, and there was a three-step agreement that we kind of came up with. The first one that has been implemented was putting up speed limit signs. There was no speed limit signs between, let's say, Washington and Dewey.
Right.
And so now if you go there and that block, you'll see the speed limit signs have been installed.
Okay.
So that's step number one. Step number two, there was going to be a put a strip across the street and have a counter, basically.
Oh, okay.
So Clayton wanted that to be done for a second step. Mm-hmm. So we're waiting. I think he said they were just going to be going down, city manager. I don't know if they're down yet or not, but he had plans of be putting him down because I just had a recent talk with him about that. And then from that, it's going to determine then the third step of putting the blinking signs up, which is kind of like I like personally as well.
Right.
But we wanted to go in three steps, and so the person that we got with that lives in that area and so forth and has all the data. He counts cars, I think. Very concerned. He was satisfied and in agreement with those three steps. So that's what's going on right now. So,
perfect. Yeah. That's great. That's great to know. Yeah. Great to hear. I just wasn't sure.
Yep. Further questions?
Just Art Walk, Friday,
yes.
4 to 8.
Oh, yeah.
With the movie. There's a movie. The Farmers Market is putting on a movie in the park on the same night. Or on Ball Street. We did the road closure for them recently.
I do have one question for the chief on the first comments that some people already talked about the homeless and so forth, but I just wanted to know if your question was if we were aware of the increase of the population in that one area he was talking about. Are we aware of anything that's, because I'm not aware of it.
whether there's an increase, I don't know if we do actual counts, but we were aware of that incident. I was there along with police and fire staff and with the individual in question. He is back in town after a lengthy hospital stay.
He is.
Yes.
Yeah. So you just think there's been somewhat of an increase in the homeless recently, or
I can't say for sure. We don't do a count. I know we have there's a count done every year, but I don't have that information in front of me, so I don't want to say yes or no.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Can I speak again?
No, but you can speak with me.
Okay.
Anytime, and then I'll get you with the chief if I need or whatever. So that's the way I kind of like to handle it. But that door is open, and all you got to do is come through it. And when I'm here now, to tell you, I'm probably going to be away from that because I'm going to be at a convention for the next few days. And a Kiwanis golf outing tomorrow for a fundraiser. And but I'll be here next week, Monday and Friday. Okay. I'd be more than happy to meet with you and talk about that. And if I need to get the chief with me or someone of more knowledge than I have, I would have no problem with that.
Okay.
Would that be okay with you?
Sure.
Right, so. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah.
Or you could call or email.
All right.
What's that?
Right.
All right. Always growing. Always growing. So that's the last of the comments. Yes, the next meeting will be Monday, September the 29th, and the next regular meeting will be October the 6th. So I'd be looking for a motion.
So moved.
Support. I have a motion of support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. Meeting is adjourned.
Pretty clever, John.